Bibles, if you would, amen, and remain standing, or I should say take your Bibles. We don't want you to grab them. Be gentle with them, amen. Take your Bibles and turn them to Psalm 1. It should open up automatically to the book of Psalms, amen. And we're going to get another section of the Blessed Man under our belts this morning. By the way, if you are memorizing Psalm 92, 12 through 15, it's going to go hand in hand with verse number 2 and number 3, amen. We're at Psalm number 1. I'm going to read the entire psalm. If you know it by heart, amen, you can quote it. You can say it to yourself, amen. But we're going to read it for our intents and purposes, amen. I want to continue to make sure that we can see that there. And we are talking about the blessed man, what it takes to be the blessed man, looking at some of the negative choices of the blessed man first. And that's what we've been looking at so far. And we looked at the blessed man does not listen to ungodly counsel. And then we're going to look at some other things today as far as hanging around or lingering with sinners. Amen. Everybody at Psalm 1 say amen.
Amen.
Anybody need a few more minutes? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and read that in its entirety, starting with verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. You notice Psalms 1 and 2 are anonymous psalms, and they don't have any particular person that's been given credit for writing them. And I think that's for good reason, amen, so we could get that as a standard, not attributed to any one person, amen, other than God, amen. And God giving the instructions on what it takes to be a blessed man or a blessed woman, amen. Started out by letting you know in the beginning, the command was only once given. Man shouldn't eat of the tree. But then after the fall and all men became sinners based upon that fall, then we find multiple negative commands given to man through the Ten Commandments and other things as well, showing us how to worship God and the priority of God, but also how to protect man as well, because it's not in our best interest to protect man in our sinful nature, amen. We want to get what we want to get, want to hurt who we're going to hurt, amen. That's just standard. So he has to go in and let us know, this is what I don't want you to do, but then this is what I do want you to do. So the negative choices first, and so last week we looked at the blessed man does not listen to ungodly counsel. Today it's going to be talking about the blessed man does not linger with sinners, amen. They're not his company, amen. They're not the ones that he hangs out with, amen. And so we'll look at that today. I pray God will be get a blessing to our hearts and our minds. Father, thank you for the blessing of being here today. I do thank you for the word of God, Lord. Thank you for the enjoyment that's there, the excitement that's there, Lord, but also the correction that's there, and the Lord, just the instruction that is there. Help us as we look at this blessed man to recognize you desire for us, each and every one of us, to be like this blessed man. You desire for us not to walk in ungodly counsel or stand in the way of sinners, Lord. That's your design for us, that we're going to be blessed to stay. And I pray, Lord, that if there is something in our lives that resembles ungodly counsel, there's something in our lives that resembles standing with sinners, Lord, you would remove it today. Show it to us, Lord, we may confess it, forsake it right away. Lord, if there's one today that's not saved, they've never been born again, that they're not sure that heaven is their home, convict that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that they would embrace the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Lord, they would embrace the love of Jesus Christ and be saved, Lord, for it's everlasting too late. They would turn from sin and turn to the Savior. Help them to recognize that sinners have a judgment. Sinners have an end. Sinners will not stand in the judgment. Lord, I pray that those of us that recognize that won't stand with them. Lord, we'll stand separate from them, but seek to encourage them and to win them for Christ's sake. Thank you for meeting with us today, Lord. Bless now the message and song and in the sermon, Lord. May our hearts be stirred and challenged to do greater things for thee. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Amen. Brad's going to come and sing for us.
Seeking for things that could not satisfy, and then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. So, my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to Him and humbly pray, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate that blessing. Message and song, amen. Fill my cup. I do pray you came to be filled up today, amen, with the ways of the righteous, amen. And by the way, you know, to get filled up with the ways of the righteous, you got to understand what the ways of the unrighteous are, so not to be filled with that, amen. And it's good to be here, amen. Now, you will occasionally hear some airplanes fly overhead. They're getting prepared for some demonstrations. And so if you hear that, don't be alarmed, amen. We're not being attacked. This is not Pearl Harbor. Amen. But we might be caught by surprise by something else. Amen. By the way, the rapture might happen. Amen. That'll be a surprise. Amen. A well-expected surprise. Amen. By the way, some of us are waiting for the rapture. Amen. And I trust that it happens. I was talking just the other day with the boys. We're doing our devotion. We began talking about the Antichrist. And G2 said, well, is he alive right now? I said, he very well could be alive right now, amen? And his job is to come in and to deceitfully overtake and infiltrate, amen, a world that forsakes God and doesn't want God, amen? They'd rather have a whole lot of anti-God things, amen? And I think our world is being primed and prepped for that, amen, with the abortion and all these things, and we don't want to and do anything adverse against Islam and ISIS and all that. We want to be politically correct, amen. And I believe that that's all just opening up the doors for the Antichrist to come in and make some things happen, amen. So we're looking forward to the rapture, amen. All right, well, today, if you're taking notes, amen, we are finished looking at the blessed man does not listen to ungodly counsel. We saw the things described with him, the damages that counsel brings to our lives, the division that brings to our lives, and the death that brings when we act upon wrong counsel and when we listen to wrong counsel. We looked at some biblical characters' lives, but then we saw those that had ungodly counsel given, but they didn't get it. They said, look, I'm staying away from this. I refuse that. Amen. Stand far away from this. Amen. Joseph was one. Amen. And we looked at David. He was another. Amen. Well, keeping with that same negative connotation, we're looking at the blessed man does not linger with sinners. By the way, how many of us tell our children what not to do? You say, don't do this, don't do that. Amen. That's it? So, anybody else? Amen? All right, all right.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. We tell our children not to do some things. And then God goes around and tells us not to do something. We get mad at God.
Yes, sir, we do,
Ben. Don't we?
We do. We do.
We'll tell our kids all day long, don't, stop, 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 not, no. And then when God says, stop, no, don't.
Well, God, who do you think you are? Why can't I hang out with these people? Why can't I listen to that ungodly counsel? Why can't I go here? Why can't? But all day long, we'll tell our kids, stop, no, don't, stop, no, can't, no.
But then as soon as God says us, we get attitude. And sirs, we get the poochy lip.
God don't want me to have no fun. Sinners have all the fun. Ungodly people have all the fun. They get to go hang out in pig pens and play with dirt and sin and eat slop and have bad belly aches. And I got to stay over here and eat healthy stuff like the Word of God. I got to have a diet like memorizing the Bible. I got to have the boring stuff. They get all the fatty stuff over there. Aren't you glad we got a good God? He's better than any parent you ever had. Amen. And he's looking out for your welfare. And so he says, if you're going to be blessed, then there's some things you need to stay away from. There's some people you need to stay away from. There's some things that you need to do in your life if you're going to be blessed. Amen. And so the blessed man starts out with the negative choices that he makes. He doesn't listen to ungodly counsel, but then also he doesn't linger with sinners. Amen. Notice what it says down in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Amen. We're going to look at this particular portion of Scripture today in two facets. First of all, the harm to you from the sinner is what we're going to look at. The harm to you from the sinner. Then the flip side of that is going to be the help from you to the sinner. The help from you to the sinner. So first of all, it's going to look at the harm that the sinner will do to you if you let him. But then the help that you can give to the sinner. By the way, sinners need your help. They need your help. Whether you want to help them or not is going to be up to you, but they need your help. Give you some definitions here. The word standeth here in this verse means to abide, continue, remain, stand by, stand with, or tarry with. Amen. If you're using a concordance, you would find those definitions, Brother Serge. Amen. And then the word in the way comes with the idea of a course of life or a mode of action. Or a conversation or manner of life or a pathway or something that someone chooses to follow. So sinners then means a criminal or one accounted guilty or an offender or one sinful. Putting them all together, you get something like this. The person is going to be blessed that doesn't abide, remain, or stay in the course of life or the mode of action or the way of life of the guilty offender and sinful person. That's what you would get. This would include all sinners, but it particularly refers to those that are unrepentant sinners. Now, we're sinners, but we're supposed to be saved by grace. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. Hold your finger there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let's get an idea of these sinners. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. What type of sinners are we talking about? Well, amen. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And Paul is talking about the church at Corinth here being unfair in their practices and what they were doing. And they were defrauding each other. And then he says something here in verse number 8 of chapter number 6. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. He said, you're doing wrong to each other. Then he says this in verse number 9. Know ye not, or in other words, you don't know this, you don't realize this, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, if you're not right with God, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, he says, don't let anybody trick you on this. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's gay, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's the same type of person, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, that's to use abusive language or to denounce someone, nor extortioners, that's taking things by force, he says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. So he says, here's a list of sinners. Here's a list of sins. And people that are doing this are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're not saved. Say, preacher,
Why are they not saved? Because they're unrepentant. They're doing this on a regular basis with no moral conscience or nor chastisement from God or nor guilty feeling from the Holy Spirit of God. And they can do this on a regular basis. But then notice what he says in verse 11. And such were some of who? You. In other words, he's saying you're no different than the sinners. There's only one thing that separates you from the sinners. They still do it. You used to do it. You have the Spirit of God. They don't have the Spirit of God. For them, it's a way of life. And for you, it's not a way of life anymore. For them, they walk in it. But for you, you may trip and fall in it, but you may get right back up and continue on for God. That's what he's saying. It's not a way of life for you. It's not a course of life anymore. For them, it's a way of life. For you, if this happens to you, you're going to get back up, dust yourself off, repent of your sins, and get forgiveness. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord. He says you're washed, first of all, it means you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're sanctified, second of all, you've been set aside for God's use, amen, and set unto God. And ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who justifies you by his blood and by the Spirit of our God is in you and testifying that God has saved you. Amen. And so if that is the case, it's going to be very difficult for you to walk in this way with the sinners without repenting of your sin. May I add, if you can walk in that way, you're probably not saved. Let me say that again. May I say, if you can walk in that way, you're probably not saved. If you can walk that way day after day with no repentance, without any remorse, without any conviction, without anything saying that's wrong, inwardly, not outwardly. I'm not talking about somebody else saying that's wrong. I'm not talking about a parent, young people, saying that's wrong. I'm talking about the Spirit of God inside you telling you God hates your sin. That's wrong, and you need to get that right.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
If you don't have that voice, better watch out.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Because that voice will keep you from that way.
Yes, will.
Young people, that voice will keep you from that way. I ain't talking about mama's voice. I ain't talking about daddy's voice. I ain't talking about your teacher's voice. I'm talking about the Spirit of God's voice inside you. If you don't have that voice, something's wrong with your Christianity. And you will walk in the way of sinners. You will stand in the way of sinners. And you will sit with sinners. Won't bother you a bit. You listen to their counsel. You listen to their sin. And you'll actually sit down for a while and get involved in their sin. Such were some of you. In other words, he does not listen. The blessed man does not listen to ungodly counsel. And he also does not linger with sinners. They are not his counselors and his guides. Now, I call this point, the blessed man doesn't linger with sinners. Let me give you the idea of what that means. Turn over to Genesis chapter 19. How many of y'all remember the town called Sodom and Gomorrah? How many of y'all remember there were two key figures dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah? One was Abraham. The other was a guy by the name of Lot. And if I'm going to linger, that means I'm going to abide, hang around, continue, stand by, or stand with, or tarry with. Genesis chapter 19. I want us to see the idea of this picture in Lot's life. Notice chapter 19. Let's pick it up in verse number 15. The town is about to be destroyed. God sends some messengers by way of angels Abraham's request to come down here and to get Lot out of town. And notice verse number 15. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now, if you heard that request, what would you do? I think you would get out of town. Let's change the conditions. If you heard there's a bomb planted at Shining Light Baptist Church in this auditorium and it's about to go off, what would you do? I think the exit would be jam-packed trying to get out of here. Now, I'm out this one first. And if you stay behind, guess what? Shame on you. Shame on you. Now, there used to be a door back that way where Shane's at. Shane might make him a door back that way again. If he can't get out that way or this way. But if there's a bomb here and you know there's going to be destruction here, you know there's going to be a blast here, wouldn't you get out?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Well, Lot has been forewarned that God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot does something. He lingers. He lingers. Notice down there in verse number, towards the end of verse 15, it says, lest thou be what? Consumed in what? The iniquity or the sin of the city. Verse 16. And while he lingered, the word means to hesitate, to be reluctant, to delay, to stay, or to stay yourselves, or to tarry. While he lingered. Now, by the way, before we go on, this always was a question that perplexed me. Why did he linger? Was he perhaps concerned about the family that he couldn't get out of Sodom? Was he concerned about his two daughters that didn't leave Sodom? Maybe he had some other family members there. Maybe he had an expensive house there. Maybe he had an expensive cart and horse there. Maybe he had friends at the job there. I don't know. But the Bible says while he lingered. Why would he linger? And then ask yourself this question. Why do you linger at sin? Why do you linger at sin? Why do you keep playing with the same sin? Why do you keep listening to the same ungodly counsel? Why do you keep picking up the same sin over and over and over again and linger with it? Then that's probably the same reason why Lot did what he did. I don't know why he did it. But I know this. When I heard that my city was going to be destroyed, caught my soul and my body in a place called hell, I didn't tarry. I didn't linger. I didn't stay. I got saved. I didn't linger. I didn't tarry. I said, look, I'm making a beeline. I'm getting this thing settled. I'm getting saved. Fire is not for me. The Bible says he lingered. Why do you linger in sin? Why would anyone want to linger in sin? Amen. Good question. When you come up with the answer, you might get that to Lot. Because he needed it. While he lingered, it says, the men laid hold. Now, these are the angels that came and that were dispatched. The men laid hold upon his hand. Notice that. And upon the hand of his wife. And upon the hand of his two daughters. So, in other words, you got one angel, got Lot right here, and got Lot's wife right here. Then you got the other angel over here. It's got one daughter and got another daughter and have to literally drag them out of town. Wait a minute. Why do I have to drag you out of town when you know it's going to get burned up? Why does God have to drag you away from your sin when you know it's no good for you? Why does God got to drag you away from the ungodly when you know they're no good for you? Amen. I'm just saying, y'all pretty quiet this morning.
Amen.
I think there's a little bit of lot in all of us.
Amen.
But I like the next part of this verse. The Lord being merciful unto him. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? If it were not for the mercy of God, Lot would have been destroyed. And we're not for godly Abraham interceding for him, saying, I got my nephew down there. I've got his wife down there. He's got children down there. If it were not for the mercy of God, he'd be gone. It says, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. What are we talking about? The blessed man does not linger with sinners. Sometimes God in his mercy has to send messengers to pull us away from sinners because we're lingering around sinners, get this, planning to go away from the sinners, but never going away from the sinners. Let me say that again. Sometimes God's got to send us a messenger to pull us away from sinners because we're planning to go away from sinners, but never going away from sinners. And God in his mercy has got to send a divine messenger to pull you away from your sin.
Amen.
Amen. I've been a recipient of that mercy on several occasions. The Lord being merciful unto me. And you can be there all pious if you want to and say, well, God's never had to do that for me. You know you're lying. There's been a pet sin of yours that you clung on to. that you didn't want to let go of. I remember one pet sin that I had, and I planned on getting rid of it. God knows my heart. My wife knows my heart. I had some movies that I just shouldn't have had, and I told y'all before. Had them tucked away in my little cupboard up there. Had some Christian folk over to the house. And I'm lingering with my sin. There it is, but it's tucked away. Nobody can see it. One of the little kids went in there and pulled my sin out. I was lingering around and started waving my sin around to everybody else, all the Christian folk. And I'm thinking, why didn't I get rid of it when I had the chance? Why did I linger with this sin? And he's going around, and I'm thinking, you brat, come here. Give me my sin. Don't expose my sin. Don't show it to everybody. They'll know how wicked I really am. Why not just get rid of it? Because I lingered. I lingered with it. See, when you linger with sin, you expose yourself to all sorts of things that you need not expose yourself to. And the blessed man doesn't need that kind of garbage. Needless to say, after that lad left my house, I didn't tarry anymore. The Lord being merciful unto me. I got that junk out of my house as quick as you can shake a stick. I said, that stuff, that, no more will somebody pull my sin out and blackmail me. Little two-year-old kid. Can't even speak. Can't even hardly walk. Should have beat him, Serge. But God used that divine messenger to show me, you in sin, boy. You need to get rid of that junk. That's wrong. Why are you lingering? Did I save you? Did I set you on solid ground? Did I sanctify you? Let it go. Sometimes we linger. And it's by the mercy of God. I like that song. Were it not for grace. Were it not for grace. I can tell you where I'd be. Wandering down some lonely road. My salvation up to me. Amen. I'm so glad for God's grace and God's mercy. Go back to Psalm 1. Amen. Just wanted to show you an idea of what linger means. And so the blessed man does not linger with sinners. Let's look at some things here with this picture here. Number one, harm to you from the sinner. Harm to you from the sinner. What harm can come to you? Well, there's considerable amount of harm that can be done to you by sinners, and that's why the blessed man avoids him. Listen to some of these verses I'm going to read to you. You don't have to turn there and look at them. Matter of fact, right where you're at. Notice down there in verse number 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor what? Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In other words, the psalmist is saying, you know, when it's all said and done, when we all get to glory, we all get to heaven, there's going to be a congregation of the righteous, and the sinners ain't going to be there. They're not going to be able to stand the judgment. They're not going to be able to stand the judgment of God. Amen. The great white throne judgment is going to be there. The books are going to be open, and the other books are going to be open, and they're going to be judged out of those books by their works. He said, they're not going to stand. The congregation of the righteous? No. Because that's where the blood of the Lamb is applied. And that's where they're at. But he said, they're not going to stand. So you don't have to go very far to see that it's not going to be profitable for you to stand with sinners. Now that person that's designed and destined for destruction and fire because they will not accept the love of God, should I be hanging out with them? No more than I should have had that movie in my house. I should not have had that movie in my house. But guess what? We shouldn't be in the way of sinners. They're not going to stand the judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. He's doomed. He's already ungodly. The ungodly counsel that he's been giving, his sinful ways, everything about him is already doomed and designed to be destroyed. That's the harm that he can bring to you as he's a sinner or she's a sinner. Psalm 104, 35 says it this way. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth and let the wicked be no more. Isaiah 128 says it this way. And the destruction of the transgressors and of sinners shall be great. Isaiah 13:9 says it this way. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Amos 9:10 says, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. Proverbs 13:21 says it this way, evil pursueth sinners. Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. In other words, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way that the sinner stands in is difficult to bear. By the way, it's not supposed to be borne by us. The things that I had in those movies, I should have never had them in my house. Even as a saved man, I shouldn't have had them. Say, preacher, no. That's right. No, I shouldn't have had them. What am I saying? This is harm to you from the sinner. Don't stand in the way. There's a considerable amount of harm that can be done to you by sinners, and that's why the blessed man avoids him. Sinners won't stand in the judgment. They'll be consumed. They'll be destroyed. They'll die. The evil pursues them. Their way is hard, and we should not envy them, nor should we stand with them. By the way, on several occasions, if the cops would have caught one of my cousins, you know what I would have been? Guilty by association. You know what I would have been called? An accomplice. But I didn't do the crime. And your point is, you're an accomplice. You didn't turn him in. You didn't say anything and you were with him. You were aiding and abetting a criminal. You're an accomplice. Why? Because I was standing with sinners. But I didn't know any better. I didn't know it was that bad. You know it was bad. You know it was sin. Hey, what am I saying? Don't hang with them. Don't stand with them. Just because you're not doing it doesn't mean a hill of beans. You're guilty by association. Teenagers, don't be caught with them. Don't be caught with them. They've got drugs. They got alcohol. You better stay away from them. Hey, they got pornography. You better stay away from them. They got illegal stuff. You better stay away from them. Hey, they got cars and they're driving with no license. You better stay away from them. You better stay away from them. You'll be guilty. Hey, he says, they don't stand, walk in his counsel. They don't stand with these sinners. What am I saying? We keep good things, but bad things we get rid of. The sinner's going to be destroyed. Why? God's got no use for sin. Why? He'd rather use saints. Now, he'll use sinners for his advantage, for the glory of God. But he'd rather use saints. He'd rather use the ones with his hands clean. He'd rather use the ones with their eyes clean, the ones with their feet cleansed, the ones with their bodies cleansed. He'd rather use that type of a person. And so if you're going to stand with the sinners, he says, look, let me let you know, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to die. They're going to be having evil can pursue them. Their way is hard. They're going to be consumed. They're going to be destroyed. They won't stand in the judgment. Avoid them at all costs. Amen. Hey, they're at your jobs. They're at your schools. They're in your community. They live next door to you. They live across the street from you. They live all around you. And they are involved in things that you know are not right. Now, I just listed you a lot of sins over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9, hold your finger there. Let's go right back over there again. Because these are the things that sinners do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says this in verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Fornicators, don't stand with them. Idolaters, don't stand with them. Adulterers, don't stand with them. Effeminate, don't stand with them. Abusers of themselves with mankind, don't stand with them. Amen. That's a homosexuals. Thieves, don't stand with them. Covetous, don't stand with them. Drunkards, don't stand with them. Revilers, don't stand with them. Amen. They're using abusive language or language that you know is not right by God. Don't stand with them. Extortioners, taken by force, don't stand with them. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. He said, these people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. If you start up there in verse number 9. He says, and such were some of you. But preacher, they're there. What do we do with them? That's point number 2. We already know that the harm can come to you from the sinner. But wait a minute. If somebody doesn't help them, they will continue to be sinners. And they will go to a place called hell. And such were some of you. Such were some of me. That's how I used to be. You go down through that laundry list of sins, you're going to find yourself in there somewhere. You keep going throughout the Bible, you're going to find yourself in there somewhere. And so if there's harm to you from the sinner and we shouldn't stand in his way, hey, what about the help from you to the sinner? Do stand in the word. May I give you this? The only way to prevent standing in the way of sinners is to stand in the word of God. If you're not standing in the word of God, you will be standing in the way of sinners. It comes by default from our nature. It's automatic. Why do you think so many negative commands are there? How many positive commands do you give your children? You give them more negative commands than you give them positive commands. Why? You expect them to do this. I like that Brother Perkins said, you know, you don't get no more points. Is that Brother Perkins? You don't get no more points. We expect this. But you'll get some points taken away from you. Amen. We expect that. Sinners have an expectation. And we expect them to do what they're going to do. The only way to prevent standing in the way of sinners is to stand on the word of God and in the word of God. This gives you the opportunity to forsake the sinner's way and gives you the opportunity to present the Savior's way to them. And while there's considerable amounts of harm that can be done to you by sinners, there's also a considerable amount of help we can offer the sinner. Proverbs 25:8 says this, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Did you know sinners can be taught? We can teach the dog tricks. We can teach horses to be bridled. I mean, we can teach mules to plow. We can teach elephants to stand on their hind legs and get a peanut. Amen. We can teach lions not to bite with a little whip. Pew, pew, pew. Sinners can be taught too. If you're saved here, you were taught. You were taught the word of God. You were taught that Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You were taught that this book is true. You were taught that there is a God in heaven who will punish your sin. You were taught that if you repent of your sins, he will save you. Amen. What am I saying? You and I can teach the sinner. Why? Because we ourselves were taught. Hey, Lot, because Lot lingered in Sodom and came out, Lot could tell everybody else, hey, there's a merciful God. He pulled me out of Sodom. He got my wife out. He got my daughters out. Hey, there is a merciful God. Hey, sinners can be taught. What am I saying? There's help from you to the sinner. Good and upright is the Lord, Proverbs 25:8 says. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way they can be taught. Psalm 51:13 says it this way. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. They can be taught. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. Let me show you something here. Mark chapter 2. Because I think this is where we as fundamental Baptist Christians and Christians in general fail. Mark chapter 2. We understand that we're not supposed to hang with sinners. We understand we're not supposed to walk in their counsel. And because we understand that, we divorce ourselves totally and completely from them altogether. We ain't going to eat with them. We ain't going to drink with them. We ain't going to talk to them. We ain't going to even look at them. They on the other side of the street. I'm on this side of the street. There's a gulf fixed between us, and never shall the twain meet. What if somebody had that idea about you? Mark chapter 2. Notice down here in verse number 13. And he went forth again, this is Jesus, by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him. And he, what? Taught them. What did we just read in Psalm 25:8 and 51:13? Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Mark 2:14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Man, too bad Lot didn't do that. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and who? Sinners sat also together with who? Jesus. And who? His disciples. Are we disciples of Jesus Christ? I think so. For there were many, many what? Sinners and disciples and what? And they followed him. Notice verse number 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? In other words, the religious folks said, we're fundamental Baptists. We don't hang out with people like that. That's not our cup of tea. They don't come to our church. They don't smell the way we smell. They don't drink the coffee we drink. They don't eat the toast we eat. They're not like us. We have nothing to do with them, amen. Nothing like them. Nope. We don't eat with them. We don't drink with them. We don't sit with them. We don't even smell like them. They're a total different class. They came to Jesus and called Jesus on the carpet. Do you know who you're eating with? Do your disciples know who these folk are? Now, Levi know, because Levi just got called. Levi's like, these are my friends. These are the only people I know. know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't know any Christian folk. How many of y'all knew Christian folk when you got saved? I didn't know a whole lot. All I knew were sinners. That's all I knew. And guess where I brought my sinners? To the church! I brought them to see what happened to me. I brought them to see Jesus, amen. Hey, come see a man. I brought them to see my Savior. Y'all want to know why I'm different? Come to church. Why? I didn't know anybody else. And you know what? When sinners come to church, people do like this. Tattoos, earrings, purple hair, cigarette behind your ear, look at you, no clothes on. Children, don't look. Children, don't look. That's one of those sinners over there. Look at all those earrings down their head and in their mouth and in their cheeks and all their eyebrows. And look at them with the mohawk head. Oops, don't look at them, children. I don't find Jesus scrutinizing anybody. But we're guilty of that. We're guilty of that. Verse 17. When Jesus heard it, when Jesus heard they were making this ado about the publicans and the sinners, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician. How many of y'all go to the doctor when you ain't sick? Amen. Hey, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, look what? These folks need help. They are sinners. They need to be saved. They come to eat with me, and man, I'm going to give them the gospel, which you should have gave them, but you didn't even get yourself. Amen. What am I saying? Hey, there is help from us to the sinner. Now, is there harm from the sinner to you? Yes, there is. If you're not in the Word of God, you don't know how to stand. By the way, I find it interesting that the Bible says that Jesus is the friend of sinners. Amen. But you know what it doesn't say? That sinners are the friends of Jesus. What does that mean? That means that Jesus and his deity can be a friend and do the best for you, amen, but you are not going to do the best for him. He was the friend of sinners. Yes, he was, amen, but guess what? They weren't his friends. And by the way, I can be a friend to you and not get involved in the things you do because I love you and I care about you. You don't have to reciprocate that at all. Amen. You can be a friend to somebody and they not be your friend. And so Jesus was, yes, the friend of sinners. He didn't mind eating with them and drinking with them. Why? I'm going to give help to you. But by the way, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. What am I saying? Jesus said, look, there's some harm from the sinner that can come to you. But wait a minute. There's some help from you to the sinner that they need, and you don't have to stand in their way. You don't have to listen to their ungodly counsel. You don't have to sit in their seats, amen. Jesus just passed through, gave them the help, and kept going. Guess what? When he called Levi or Matthew, guess what Levi did? He stayed with Jesus. Jesus didn't stay with the sinners. See, we get caught up, and we find ourselves listening to the counsel of the ungodly. And then we start standing with them. Before long, we're sitting with them. And that's what the Bible is warning against. Jesus is eating with them just long enough to give them the gospel, and you find him going on his way. And he came at the invitation of Levi, who made the banquet for them in the first place, which was Matthew. Amen. And so when you look at this particular area, the sinners in the way sensed that Jesus did not approve of their sin, but they also sensed that he loved sinners. By the way, sinners can tell if you love them. Pastor White, my neighbor, was outside just the other day. He got him a butt can outside now. He got all his cigarette butts cleaned up. We were out the other day and cleaning up, and G2 said, how come he got to throw all his cigarette butts on this side? I said, well, son, you know, that's what sinners do. It'd be all right. Don't know. Let's just keep loving them. Being a witness, amen. And he happened to drive up, and I said, hey, I said, I thought you was going to help me out. I thought you was going to stop throwing cigarettes. He said, man, I ain't throwing no cigarette butts over there. I ain't doing it. I said, well, somebody did it because we don't smoke. He said, I got somebody coming today. We're going to clean them up, man. I'm going to clean them up. And sure to his word, he cleaned all those cigarette butts up. and he placed a little butt can out there. And I drove up the other day. He said, hey, hey. He said, I did it. I said, you did it. I said, you're a man of your word. I said, now you said you need help stopping smoking. I said, now I should see less and less butts in that butt can. He started, I'm not standing with him. I'm not listening to his counsel. But guess what? I'm trying to counsel him. I'm trying to win him. I'm trying to be his friend. I'm trying to get him saved. He's my neighbor. I've got other neighbors that I got my eyes on. I got my ears open to. Our neighbor next door came by. She said, you want to buy all this stuff? I'm like, I have no earthly reason to buy this stuff.
That's good.
But I said this, to be a good neighbor, I'm going to help you out.
Yes, sir.
Why? We're trying to witness to him.
We're
not going to listen to their ungodly counsel. We're not going to stand with them. Amen. We're not going to sit with them. But we do have something that we can help them with. Why? Because there's harm that can come from them to me, but there's help from me that can go to them if I do it like Jesus, have the heart to say, I want to see you saved. I have a heart to see you born again. I see that you're a sinner and you're not going to stand in the judgment. You're not going to sit with the righteous. It's not going to happen. You need Jesus. And I'm the one that can give them to you. Hey, there may be others that can give people the gospel, but guess what? I'm taking a special responsibility for my neighbor to give them the gospel. Why? I may be the only Jesus they ever see. I may be the only Jesus he's got a relationship with that knows the gospel. What am I saying? There's help from us to sinners. Luke 15:1 says it this way. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Ask your rhetorical question. Any sinners drawing near to hear you lately? Convicting, isn't it? The righteous don't need to be saved. It's the sick, the sin sick. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. Hey, they that are whole need no physician. I ask you the question, are any sinners coming to hear you? Convict my soul. I praise God, my neighbor did. I started asking me Bible questions. I said, Lord, praise God. At least he knows that I've got the truth.
Amen.
At least he knows that I have something he doesn't have. Hey, do people think they have the same thing you have? They think they got the same Jesus you have. Most people do. But if your life is radically different, like Jesus Christ's life was, who attracted sinners, he disapproved of their sin, but he loved them, amen. People know that. They know that. Any sinners drawing near to us lately? Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. And verse 19 of that same chapter says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It's in our nature to be disobedient, but Jesus came to make us obedient. Paul said it this way in 1 Timothy 1:15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If we see ourselves as chief sinners, we can be led by the chief Savior because we follow his mercy, the Lord being merciful unto us. Paul said, I keep a perspective of myself that I'm the chiefest of sinners. But you're the apostle, Paul. But you wrote all these books in the New Testament. You're one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. My self-esteem is about nothing. I esteem others better than themselves, as somebody said. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about me helping you. It's not about me. What did he say? He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Why? If I'm the chiefest of sinners, I know I can get God's grace. I don't have such a puffed up view of myself thinking I'm better than sinners. By the way, the only thing that separates a sinner from you is the blood of Jesus Christ, which is on your life, that needs to be on their life. We're not for the grace of God. You'd be in the same boat that sinners are. You'd be walking in the ungodly counsel. You'd be standing in the way of sinners. And you'd be sitting in the seat of the scornful if it were not for the grace of God and the word of God. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. Christians, let's not get so high-minded that we think we're better than somebody. Remember, we are still sinners too, just saved by the grace of God, were it not for grace. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When you fall as a saved sinner, you fall on the grace of God. You confess your sins. You draw nigh to him. He draws nigh to you. You cleanse your hands. You drop your sin. You repent of your sins, and he receives you to himself. Hallelujah, what a God we serve. God is good. I still go back to Lot. While he lingered, the Lord, being merciful unto him, drug him out of town. The blessed man does not listen to ungodly counsel, and he does not linger with sinners. But his mentality is found in Proverbs chapter 1. Let's go over there as we close. Proverbs chapter number 1. That's where the blessed man's mentality is found. Proverbs chapter number 1. Of course, this is the instruction book for wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 1. The mentality of the blessed man is found here, along with Psalm 1. Notice what it says down in verse number 8. My son. Matter of fact, go up to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, the fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning or the principal thing of knowledge or awareness and godliness. But fools or silly people despise, disrespect wisdom, skillfulness, and instruction or restraint. If you look them up in the concordance, Brother Serge, amen. But my son, he says in verse 8, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Why? For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. What does the blessed man do? The same thing as this young man is taught to do here. My son, if sinners entice thee, what? Consent thou not. He says, don't give in. Don't give in. What are they going to do? If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look proudly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. He said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. What did he say? He standeth in the way of sinners. Hey, he said, you're going to be blessed. My son, don't you stand in that way. Oh, yes, you help them. You give them the gospel. But don't you stand in their way. They're going to drag you down. They're going to drag you down. Jesus was the word of God, so he could eat and drink with sinners. If you don't have the word of God permeating through your body, you will not stand against sinners. They will consume you in their sin because sin is good to your flesh. Just face it and just say amen. Sin is good to your flesh. Gossip is good to your flesh. Lies are good to your flesh. Deceit's good to your flesh. Fornication is good to your flesh. Lasciviousness is good to your flesh. All those things of disobedience is good to your flesh. Hallelujah. Write it down and mark her down. That's going to get you caught every time. But if you stay in the word of God, guess what? The word of God is going to keep you anchored. Because it's going to say, my son, consent thou not. Your flesh will say, yeah, 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 yeah. The Spirit's saying, no, 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 no. If we tell our children no, God tells us no too. Amen. I'm just saying. He says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Why? For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They look proudly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. What did he say? He said, blessed man says, consent thou not. Have you ever noticed how people without assigned seats normally sit where they feel comfortable? And have you ever noticed how people without assigned locations kind of stand together where they feel comfortable? You don't go to the concession stand. Normally, I get far away from the liquor stand. I get far away from people smoking cigarettes and things of that nature because people tend to congregate with a lot of smoke, and I really don't want a lot of smoke going up my nostrils. And so people normally, without any assigned seating, normally go where they feel comfortable. Ask yourself, who do you stand with on a regular basis? Ask yourself, who do you stand with most often? Ask yourself, as you're standing, where do you stand? And as you ask, who do you stand with and where do you stand? Ask yourself, why do you stand that way? Amen. Is that because God said so? Or is that because that's where you feel comfortable at? Because birds of a feather flock together. Where do you feel most comfortable at? Around sinners? Around sinful talk? I assure you, Jesus did not feel at home with them, but he was at home with people that he died for. And that's why he didn't stay with them. He came to give them something because he knew they were sick. Do you stay with them because you know they're sick and you want to give them the gospel, but then you're going to move on? Birds of a feather flock together. Where do you stand and with whom? Is it ungodly sinners? Is it ungodly counsel? Rhetorical question. You're going to stand where you feel most comfortable. While there's considerable amounts of harm that can be done to you by sinners, there's also a considerable amount of help we can offer the sinner. There's harm to you from the sinner. And that's why the Bible says, blessed is the man standeth not in the way of sinners. But there's help from you to the sinner. Paul said, and such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're clean. But you're sanctified. But you're justified for a purpose. Then, David said, will I teach transgressors in the way? Then will I teach somebody else? Let me show you a friend of mine who brought me out of the miry clay. Let me show you a friend of mine who brought me out of that sin. Let me tell you about a friend of mine who saved my soul. Let me tell you about a friend of mine who didn't tell me to clean myself up. He said, look, I'm going to cover you up with my blood. I'm going to remove your sin. I'm going to take it all away. I'm going to make you white as snow. Let me tell you about a friend. I ask you a question. Have any sinners come to hear you lately like they came to hear Jesus? Good question. That means we need to get out and beat the paveways and the highways and the byways and compel them to come and let them hear Jesus. Let them get saved so they can be born again. I don't know where you're at today, but ungodly counsel and standing with sinners is going to be your undoing if you don't have something to fight with. You've got to stand in the word or you won't be able to stand with the sinners. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Just for a moment, contemplate. Are you like Lot today, lingering around sin? Have every intention on getting rid of it. Have every plan to forsake it, but you just haven't done it yet. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar today and say, Lord, be merciful to me. I should have let this go a long time ago. I should have given this up a long time ago. Lord, be merciful to me. Do like you did to Lot. Do like you did to his wife and his daughters. Lord, pull me out, Lord. I confess it. I'm giving it to you, Lord. Take it away. Maybe you're like Lot today. Maybe you're one that you see the harm that's being done to you by sinners, and you'd say, I need to be like Proverbs said, consent thou not. I can't walk in this way anymore. I can't stand in this way anymore. I can't listen to ungodly counsel. I can't stand with sinners anymore. I can't do it. They're pulling me down. They're harming me. Maybe that's like you today. Maybe here today you're saying, you know what? I can't divorce myself from sinners. I've got to give them the gospel. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, and I can be their friend without them being my friend. I can be concerned about them without consorting with them. I can have some compassion on them without getting involved in their sin. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray for them. Say, God, give me the ability to stand in your word. I can reach those sinners because such were some of us. Maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ and God spoke in your heart and you need to be saved. I want to pray for you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't have the complete assurance that heaven is my home. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not absolutely sure. Would you pray for me today that I can get it settled? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me today. Anyone at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl? I'm not sure. How about it, Christian? Are you like Lot? Are you lingering with sinners and sin? Is there more harm being done to you than help you're doing to them? A good indicator is the people that you frequent, how many of them know you're born again? And how has their life changed because of your influence on them? Good indicator. If you can say, I've not impacted them at all, then you know what? You're like Lot being in Sodom. Lot didn't make a difference on Sodom. But Sodom sure made a difference on Lot. The harm to Lot was devastating. The help of Lot to Sodom was totally devoid. It was not there. Are sinners hurting us and harming us, or are we helping them? Father, bless now this invitation time, Lord. I don't know the needs here, but I know the Bible is clear, Lord. I believe some are lingering with sin. I believe some are lingering with ungodly counsel. I believe some are lingering with sin. Lord, I believe others are doing their best to make a difference. And they're trying to eat with sinners and publicans, and they're trying to give them the gospel. But they're not seeing any effect right now, Lord. Maybe their testimony needs to be shored up and shined up. Maybe they need to stand in the Word a little bit more. Lord, then maybe there are others that they are standing in the Word, they are being a witness, but they are not seeing a difference. God, help them be patient. Help them be like David. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen their heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Help them be like David when he said, I had fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But I believe there are those that are here that are trying to witness to sinners. They're trying to give them the gospel. They're being their friend, but they haven't seen anything happen yet. Oh, God, help them to be patient. Help them to be long-suffering. And, Lord, meet the needs. Thank you for meeting with us, Lord. Save anyone that's lost today. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads above.